I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Whoa, no offense, but you're kind of a lot cooler than I thought you'd be.
Yes, I do seem to get that quite a bit.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 5, Episode 10, Appetite for Destruction. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
The only thing these two have an appetite for is entertaining you.
Hey!
Guess where we are in the record day, everybody? Hello, Tara.
Hi!
Hello, listeners. Before we get into this dumbly named episode, note on what's going on with Again With This. That is our Patreon sister podcast. This Friday, February 20th, it is episode number 276. Let's watch Leanne Hunley, aka Tamara, in Law & Order Special Victims Unit. That's season 11, episode 2. It's called Sugar. It is on Hulu if you would like to watch it. It stars Eric McCormack. It's that one. We will be talking about that, and you can listen to that and all of the other hundreds of episodes that we have done. We have a good time, and you can join us again with this podcast.com/club.
For now, let us discuss this episode, season 5, episode 10, with our A and only plot. Pacey's making Sunday dinner at Graham's house, and drama is on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
We open in the kitchen at Graham's house, where, as he promised in the last episode, not as it was originally intended. We discussed that last week. That was Four Scary Stories. Pacey's making dinner on his night off from the restaurant, so Mr. Ethics didn't quit, I guess. I see how it is.
Yep.
Joey the Rube is worried about the rice getting gummy, and Pacey explains that it's risotto. Audrey is not helping, other than showily moving a bowl of tomatoes from one prep surface to another and then being like, ta-da! Didn't do anything, but...
Fair. Also, this is like a Walsh kitchen-ian overabundance of produce, in my opinion.
It's a lot. She complains that she was promised Graham's. Her being out makes this night a failure. True. After establishing that they said they were going to do a regular Sunday dinner, but they have not been doing it, Joey asks where Dawson and Jen are, and Jack vaguely says they wanted to soak up the New Hampshire atmosphere or something. First time I've ever heard that about New Hampshire. No offense. At the moment, Jen and Dawson are in fact parked outside of Graham's house and in front of a car with a, I assume, Carolina sticker in the back windshield. You can see this in the visual aids. It just says Lina, but, you know, I connected those dots. Neither Dawson nor Jen is quite ready to resume normal life. Jen adding that she doesn't know what she's going to say to Graham's about them. She doesn't have to say anything, Dawson suggests. And she says if he is suggesting they sneak around, she is that kind of girl. Dawson won't commit to sneaking, but does think they should just enjoy whatever this is and not worry too much about what to tell other people. Jen does not recognize Dawson when he's being this chill. And they briefly make out before Jen says they should go inside. I don't know why, because they just make out some more in the foyer, only now they immediately get caught basically by everyone all at once. And you can see their very big reactions in the visual aids. After the credits, Everyone's eating in tense silence and, judging by their expressions, not particularly enjoying Pacey's risotto. Clip two.
Look, it's not supposed to be this gummy. Okay, you're supposed to serve it right away before anything has a chance to coagulate.
I'm sorry, that's probably our my fault for the coagulation. I just didn't know that everybody was going to be here.
Or that Pacey was cooking.
Right. Who could have guessed?
Already finishing each other's sentences.
Can I just say the coagulation sounds like a 1973 horror film from Canada?
Yeah. Also, we didn't really hear it, but the ADR on the gluey risotto is was not my favorite.
It's very unappealing, but it is getting across that this dish did not turn out the way it was supposed to.
Mm.
But as for Jack, like, you and Jen finished each other's sentences at many points in your friendship before this. Leave her alone. But that's when Audrey suddenly smushes a forkful of gummy risotto onto her boob and yanks Joey away to figure out what will get rice out of the shirt. And in the can, after Joey snorts at her for being so unsubtle, Audrey says she had to give Joey the chance for serious girl talk. Joey shrugs that it was just a kiss, nothing she hasn't seen before. Only when Audrey says that kiss seemed like the kind people have after they've fucked, I'm paraphrasing, does it seem like Joey has even entertained the notion that they might have. But when Audrey presses her, Joey unconvincingly denies having any reaction about it. Back to the living room. Jen gets up to offer Audrey a shirt to change into, leaving Joey alone in the can. But we don't see her spinning out in there. We go back to the table where Pacey and Jack banter back and forth about why Dawson invited Jen to the film festival. Jack says even his tribe can't resist and what on earth they got up to while they were there. When Dawson says there aren't any details to share, Pacey's curious why he's staring at the bathroom door then. Could it be he's concerned about Joey? Jack, not seeing or hearing that Joey's just come out of the can, says he doesn't think Joey will mind a little kissing unless there was more. And Dawson, after watching Joey wander into the kitchen, says he's not going to go over the bases with them. So then Dawson follows Joey, closing the pocket doors behind him, and Pacey and Jack go on. Clip three.
He did.
You think?
Definitely did.
You feel different?
I do. I do. I feel different. I mean, here we have Dawson Leary walking amongst us, and I gotta tell you, I'm a little worried that maybe he wasn't prepared. We didn't even get a chance to have the talk. How do you know?
It's not so much him as it is her. I mean, sick as it sounds, I know the look.
Oh, man. You know, we almost did, too.
I know. Come to think of it, we almost did once, too.
What do you think it takes?
A virgin and a straight guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's not. Not great.
Take the mics out of the dishes. In the kitchen.
Not great, slob.
Nice.
Good one.
In the kitchen, Dawson has not even said anything before Joey blurts that she's fine. She admits that it's always going to be weird for her to see Dawson kissing anyone else. And I just want to remind everyone, they went out for 2 months in the 10th grade. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
But, she says, it makes sense to her that Dawson and Jen would get back together. Dawson hadn't thought of it as a reunion since he and Jen are such different people now than when they went out for 2 different months in the same grade of school. Joey hopes they're all different people, clearly not really wanting to hear the answer but unable to resist the compulsion. Joey asks how the weekend happened. Dawson says it felt good to get out of his house. The reception to the movie was warm, and the festival gave them the honeymoon suite. And this seems to be where he realizes he's getting close to the details he had told the guys he wasn't going to give, so he stops himself, saying there's no handbook for having a conversation like this. Joey says they should co-author one. Stay in your lane. That's our thing. But instead of taking the offered out, Dawson says this. Clip four.
There's no graceful way of having this conversation.
What conversation? We're talking about a kiss. Oh. No, this is kind of silly. I should have known. I mean, when you two walked into the door together, I mean, I'm The last person in the world you could call naive.
Joey.
No, really. I get it. Okay?
Not the last person to call naive, honestly.
Yeah. So walked into the door.
Okay. Yeah. That's usually a euphemism for something else.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, when everyone is back at the table, Pacey announces that even though no one seems that psyched about it, it is time for the second course. Joey very phonily says that if the cooking is too stressful for Pacey or if everyone else is too tired from whatever, they can just call it for the night. But Pacey put a lot of work into the menu and wants to serve it, even if it's not up to the standards of the finicky eaters they all are. When he gets up, Joey offers to help, and Audrey and Jack also quickly come up with reasons to join them. Alone, Dawson tells Jen they know, including Joey. When Jen asks, he says Joey reacted like Joey. She's upset, and she isn't so typically opaque and unreadable like we all love to fucking hate with these two.
Mm-hmm.
Jen remembers Joey telling her that she couldn't think of anyone better to help Dawson through his crisis than Jen, and this probably isn't what she meant. Dawson says that as much as he cares about everyone in the kitchen, he's happy with Jen, and no one else gets to weigh in. And again, I just want to point out how much clearer things are between the two of them than whatever was going on with Joey and Dawson at the top of the season that was infuriating me so very much. And I appreciate the difference.
Same. I will say there is sort of an imbalance in the portrayals of, like, Jen is really selling this, like, first flush of boning your new trick-ness, and then Dawson is kind of, or James Vanderbeek is kind of the same as he always is, not, like, in a bad dicky season three way, just Michelle Williams is really convincing me, and he's kind of not acting totally like he is now having sex with a character played by Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
To the degree that you want, but he's the least of this episode's problems.
So true. So Jen and Dawson start kissing again, just as Audrey happens to look back through the pocket doors at them. And then we're in the kitchen, where Jack announces that this is a little weird. Joey thought Jack would be all for Jen being with someone nice and sensitive like Dawson, but Jack says Dawson's also shell-shocked and vulnerable, so this probably is not the best time for either Dawson or Jen to experiment, which, disagree, this is when Jen should be experimenting with Nora, in my opinion, just saying.
Yep.
While this goes on, Pacey's still doing prep. He has to interrupt people to take chips away from Audrey and cereal away from Joey and Jack, glaring at them as he does so. You can see this in the visual aids, too. Audrey reiterates that she was promised time with Grams. Do they keep her locked in the attic or something? And Joey seizes on this to say, yes, it is disrespectful for them all to be doing this without Grams home. Jack says that if he has to stay, so does Joey. She points out that he lives there, but it's less and less, he says. He and Jen are not the Will and Grace they used to be. Pacey knows quitting on dinner would be the easy thing to do, but that it wouldn't be right in the long run. And Audrey peeks into the oven to denigrate the look of Pacey's lemon roasted chickens, asking if they're supposed to be birthing the lemons like that. Pacey snits that you stuff the lemons in the chickens for flavor. And Joey tries to get through this faster by ordering Pacey to serve the chickens now, done or not. She likes her chicken raw, and she doesn't know what all the fuss is about. Okay.
Girl college. Raised in a restaurant. Sure.
Yes, that too. Pacey, seething, tells them to go ahead. They can all have bloody chicken. And when Joey comes out of the kitchen, Jen gives Dawson a pointed nod, so he takes off, leaving Jen to tell Joey she didn't plan on this. And actually seeming calm and unconcerned, Joey says she did not assume Jen did. Jen hesitantly says that this boy has always been between them and she would hate to think that the closeness she and Joey had just started to enjoy might be jeopardized. Joey uses a million words to say that everyone seems to be assuming she's going to lose it, but she really and truly is fine, and adds that Jen's a good person and that's what Dawson needs right now. If I thought she believed it, this would all be great, but they're about to take it away. Her mood is changing from, like, scene to scene.
Mm-hmm.
Her reaction to all of this is very inconsistent.
Yeah. Not to mention that, like, there is absolutely no universe in which these people who are not snowed in, someone would not just be like, you know what? This is too weird and I'm going to go and get a slice. Bye. Mm-hmm. If she had had the opportunity to leave and, like, think things over, I think it would have remained stable at her initial reaction, but because of the contrivance of this dinner, all the other contrivances flow from that.
Yeah. So then, after Pacey has delivered everyone's fancily plated chicken, Jack makes a joke about spotting a vein. Pacey assures everyone that he only served them the cooked parts. I'm not a chef. I don't think that's how it works, chicken-wise.
No,
but okay.
I don't think so either.
On a roll, Jack asks Dawson how the festival was, other than the obvious. Dawson says he feared a hee-haw production in terms of what the festival would be like, and adds that it was rude, but in a good way, condescending. Yeah. He also tells them about meeting Oliver and how it could lead to Dawson enrolling in film school in Boston. Jack comments that he could move into Graham's house. They have plenty of room. And of course, why wouldn't we think this palace has at least one unused room for Dawson to live in?
Mm-hmm.
But given the current situation with Dawson and Jen, Pacey snort laughs at the idea of Dawson moving in. Dawson mumbles that it's a distinct possibility, and there's the entitled Dawson we know, assuming he'll be welcome everywhere all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Audrey looks around at everyone, waspishly avoiding the awkward conversational topic, and dumps her plate in her lap so she can pull Joey away again. And in the kitchen, Joey mildly scolds Audrey for her chaotic interruptions, but Audrey ignores her and orders her to talk. Joey's annoyed about everyone treating her like a delicate flower. Audrey accuses Joey of having a black void in place of a soul. How does she feel about Dawson possibly moving to Boston? Joey feels fine, since it's not really a huge shock that all the cast members of a high school show would end up going to college in the same city. She only says some of that. And then she says this, clip 5.
When Dawson's father died, it canceled everything up. Understandably.
Yes.
And yes, there was a point where there were possibilities, I guess I'll never know. And we both thought that things were going to happen. But what happened is that Dawson lost his father. What kind of a person would I be if I didn't understand that? So, yeah, maybe if this broke my heart, I wouldn't have any right to say so.
Bonnie, you have the right to say anything you want when it comes to how you feel.
It doesn't matter, okay? It is what it is.
What is it?
Yes.
What was it?
Oh my God, thank you. The writers were determined to make this character talk around whatever was happening with Dawson at the top of the season, and she's still fucking doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder how much of that is like everybody sort of trying to reconnoiter. It's not the word I want, but moving on around like the Flash being written off, like not necessarily organically. And then it's like, okay, well, we're going to go in this direction. And then everybody, like the writers, had to just sort of continue vaguing around because this was the decision that was made. I don't know how it timed out, but it's just exhausting. And Katie Holmes is a good actor, but she's not doing an especially good job of selling us on the idea that she's conflicted about this at all. Like, nope. I don't think Vanderbeek wasn't a problem on set. So just like, get on with it. Proceed. Why is Dawson, of all people, being condescending about a small town film festival?
Honestly.
He's from a small town.
Yes. Anyway, then the doorbell rings, and when Jen goes to get it, Charlie is on the doorstep, squinting contritely. Clip 6.
Hi.
He doesn't deserve that.
Oh, my God. No, he doesn't.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
When my mom got sick, she felt powerless. Insurance denied her meds. Her doctors talked over her, and they couldn't agree on anything. She kept getting worse.
And then you found solace for me. They gave me my own healthcare advocate. My advocate found better doctors, scheduled my appointments, and got my medications approved. She even joined my appointments and made my doctors work together. For the first time, my whole care team was listening to each other and to me.
I was going to pay for it.
But then we learned that Solace advocates are covered by Medicare.
I used to feel helpless too. Now I know my mom has an advocate.
Solace advocates are healthcare experts who've spent years helping patients. 96% of patients report better care with an advocate. That means better health outcomes, less stress, and finally feeling heard. Have Medicare? See if you qualify at solacehealth.com. Or call 888-7-SOLACE. 888-7-S-O-L-A-C-E. That's 888-7-SOLACE.
Don't face the healthcare system alone. Find Solace. Visit solacehealth.com today.
After the commercial, everyone but Jen is at the table for their salads, Pacey explaining when Audrey asks that sophisticated people usually have the salad for their third course to cleanse their palates before dessert, clip 7.
Don't listen to her, Pace. She can't even work the door microwave.
Well, I didn't have one growing up, okay? My mother was afraid of radiation poisoning. Little did she know there were more dangerous things in the house like her.
Good line, delivered well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Also on microwaves, I was reminded this week with the Nigella Lawson Bake Off casting that she has pronounced it microwave on her show.
Microwave.
Cute. Jack wonders if they should bother waiting for Jen. Clip 8.
Most nice normal people would, but who knows how long Pretty Boy is going to take to, look, bread.
Also a good delivery. Well done.
There's a Kids in the Hall sketch where you can hear someone's like inner monologue during an awkward moment. And it's Kevin McDonald going, oh, my God, this is the most uncomfortable conversation I've ever been near. Thank God I have this food to eat. He seems just kind of cramming bread in his mouth. Anyway, this cues Dawson to hop up and head for the door. Pacey takes a beat and then follows. Clip 9.
I'm sure she'll be right in.
Trust me, I'm in no mood to cause a scene. I'm just going to see if she's okay.
Like, I'm all for a scene causing. I want to serve the guy up as garnish for the third course, but don't be that guy. I mean, I know you, man. You're 10 times better than that guy.
And Charlie, I should hope.
No, not just Charlie. The guy who needs to check in long before the check-in is due. Look, if you start your relationship with Jen off like this, panicking every time she leaves the room, rushing out to size up the competition, which is, really, let's be honest, what you're doing here, then the whole thing is going to have this needy overtone that, believe me, is a rocky road best left untraveled.
That guy doesn't sound a heck of a lot like me. Why do I get a feeling you're this guy?
Because generally, you're a very wise man.
I don't want you to think I don't appreciate your advice, because I do.
But you're going out anyway.
Exactly.
Well, can't say I blame you.
Sure.
I mean, it's nice that they're talking like they're actually friends.
Mm-hmm. I didn't notice until we heard that clip how much the prop clock is ticking so loud in that scene. It doesn't have to be a real clock, guys. It can take the batteries out.
Yeah.
As promised, Dawson does not make a scene. He pokes his head out the door and very blandly asks if everything is okay in like this meek, tiny little voice. Jen just needs a second. Dawson says they'll wait. And when he's gone back in and Jen is standing outside in Boston in December talking to Charlie in a sweater so thin and sheer, you can see her skin through it. Charlie is sarcastically like, nice to meet you too, about Dawson. And Jen says her friends aren't dying to hang out with Charlie. He did not expect Jen to invite him in for cocoa. He just didn't want her to have to study for finals without her Flaming Lips t-shirt. And he adds that he and Nora aren't together, but notes that Jen seems to have moved on. And I don't know how he can tell from that interaction between Jen and Dawson that they're more than friends, but she does not contradict him and tells him Dawson's name, says she would have introduced them, except it would have been very awkward. She has a history of picking the wrong guy, but she thinks she picked the right one this time. Charlie just wants her to be happy and he'll see her around. And Jen jokes that it will be from afar, maybe at graduation, but, you know, You both work at the radio station. You're going to see each other all the time, but good luck. So when Jen returns, she curtly says her t-shirt is returned. Case closed. Dawson puts a reassuring hand on her thigh, which Joey notices, cueing her to announce that she's going to go get more salad. And when Dawson follows her and Jen sadly watches him go, Jack notices that and claims they need to change the music, making Jen come with him to the living room, where he asks Jen to pretend they're best friends before asking if there are steps she wants to fill in regarding her new relationship with Dawson. It just happened, and she wishes he could understand. Jack says Dawson just lost his father, and Jen just broke up with Charlie. They're both so raw at the moment that they probably shouldn't be risking each other's hearts like this. Jen can't believe Jack thinks he's telling her anything she doesn't already know. Clip 10.
I mean, if you think that what's going on in the kitchen right now doesn't affect me, you're wrong, because it does.
All the more indication that maybe it's a little too soon.
Too soon for what? Dawson and I are just trying to figure out what's going on between us. Which would be a lot easier had we not come home to this lovely little intervention.
Oh, come on, Jen. It's not like we planned it like that. It's a dinner, not an intervention.
Well, it feels like it. And I gotta ask, like, who are you to talk? Because you've conveniently erased yourself from my life for the past few months.
Well, that's a two-way street, Jen. You haven't exactly been reaching out to me either.
Well, maybe that's because I find it difficult to have a heart-to-heart with a guy who would choose a beer bong over his boyfriend.
Oh, yeah? Well, maybe I don't want to bother trying to explain to someone who's already made up her mind about me.
Good, then you should know how it feels. It's like you haven't known me for the last few years if you think that I'm capable of hurting Dawson. How could you think that?
Oh, I don't know, Jen. How can you write your best friend off as a two-dimensional beer-guzzling frat boy?
Because you've been acting like one exclusively?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Also, you've had this fight three times now. Either stop knowing each other or resolve it and move on. No one cares.
Jen says the issue is that they used to operate like a perfect clockwork. He knew how she took her coffee. She knew how he liked his toast. But who are they now? Back to the table, empty except for Audrey and Pacey. He asks her if the food is really that bad, and she sidesteps that question, giving him kudos for holding it together tonight. He's been relieved to have Audrey there as another person who isn't thinking about killing themselves or the person next to them, and they toast to not hating each other with water. Bad luck. In the kitchen, Joey's washing a dish by hand, and I'm sorry, but if this estate does not have a dishwasher, I will eat my hat. That said, if Joey is washing dishes by hand, Dawson should be helping, not just standing there staring at her like he is. He makes a feeble joke about Grams being mad when she finds out Joey's washed the pattern off her bowl. And when Joey doesn't react, he adds that she doesn't have to pretend to be fine with him. Joey decides to call his bluff, asking if he misses her. And of course he does. Clip 11.
I mean, our lives used to happen together, Dawson. I think some part of you won't forgive me for changing the future.
No, I changed the future. I stayed.
For what?
You know for what?
I still don't know for what. I don't think either of you knows for what.
No. Yeah.
It continues. Clip 12.
Then what happened? Dawson, how did I go from being on the corner of possibility to being nothing at all?
You're not. Nothing at all, Joey. You're the furthest thing from nothing. Okay? And I wish I could give you an explanation. You deserve one.
I don't... Listen, I don't want one because I deserve it. I don't want you to treat me how you think you're supposed to. I just want you to tell me.
Something shifted when my father died. Something was lost. And, the part of me that was still hopeful just thought that maybe you and I could be on hold. And then all of a sudden, this path that I was on that seemed like such a great idea when I started, it just stopped making sense. And the more I tried to stick to my routine, the harder it was to breathe. And then when Jen and I got out of town, it was...
It was like starting over.
Do you think that things would have been any different if maybe I had gone with you?
Conceited much?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This is actually a pretty good monologue about like how grief can operate sometimes, and that leaving the old ideas and people behind, this is sort of what like the first year of college can feel like without even a parent's death mapped onto it. They're doing sort of a good job of that. And then to just stick Joey with this, like, but what if I had gone with you? Then I could have fixed it. Like,
I barf.
Know. Just fucking, I know it's Dawson, but let him talk. He's going through some shit.
Yes, he's just finished saying he needed different things emotionally after his dad died.
Yeah, and it's like, but enough about your grief. What if I could have fixed your grief? Like,
yeah,
fucking thumbs down. Boo.
Especially since her character for the first several seasons was like, oh, my poor dead mom. Like,
yeah.
She, of all characters on the show, should get where he's coming from and give him a break.
Yeah.
But there's more. Clip 13.
I don't know. I can't answer that. I don't know. All I know is when I was with Jen, I felt like me. You know, not the censored version of myself, not the sad version of myself, just me. For the first time in a long time. And it felt good.
And you feel like you can't be yourself around me.
Joey, you're just hearing what you want to hear.
No, I think I'm hearing what you're afraid to tell me.
Joey, it hurts to be around you. When I see you even from across the room, it brings up a thousand memories, not just of us, but of my entire life before. And it's like I'm frozen in this place that I can't bear to be. I care about you so much. As long as I can remember, everything's always come back to you. And even no matter what was happening between us, even the thought of you was at least a constant comfort. But I can't go back. It just hurts.
Rough, but clear.
Yeah, you pushed him to say this. I don't know. It's like, I don't think this conversation is particularly credible for a couple of 18-year-olds, but for them, good. Mm. Finally. Thank you.
Yeah. Finally, it is time for dessert, which is chocolate cake and the course that gets the most positive reviews. Also, clip 14.
Is this espresso in the center?
Yes, it's a espresso. You rube. Mm-hmm. Also, you could have left after it hurts to be around you. That would have been an acceptable choice.
Yeah.
Been like, I'm just gonna, I got shit. You know what? Bye.
Yeah. Get a pizza to go. Go get in bed with it and cry.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But she didn't. So we get this scene. Pacey promises that the next time they do this, it will go a lot more smoothly. Joey is the first to voice alarm at the idea of doing this again, suggesting maybe they should take a break. Dawson asks if she means from each other, as if he did not just tell her it hurts to be around her 5 minutes ago. Like, if I were her, I would interpret that to me taking a break from her is something he would want. So I don't get this question from him. But Joey shrugs that they seem to have drifted despite their best efforts. Don't see that you're around each other all the time. Dawson pours Jen a cup of coffee, and when Jack reaches across Dawson to add cream, Jen shyly thanks him. So connection made, I guess, we're supposed to think. Pacey doesn't think they have actually made strong efforts not to drift. Jen agrees that if they'd kept up with dinners, they would have stayed closer all along. Dawson thinks it's natural for them to drift apart a little. Dude, make up your mind. It's the opposite of what you just were scared about.
Yeah. Ugh.
He adds that they're not in high school anymore, which sets Audrey off, saying they don't know how lucky they all are. Audrey can't think of two people from high school she would ever care to see again. Clip 15.
It is actually kind of amazing that we all still know each other.
And I guess we can't really expect each other to be exactly as we were when we first met.
That's a lot to expect.
A lot to live up to.
Well, we're all still sitting here. Must be something worth sticking around for, right?
Well, sure. I mean, the dessert.
Oh, in the lifelong friendships.
Yeah. All right, risotto brooch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's really good with taking the corny lines and putting a twist on them that make them land, like a human would say them.
Yep.
They're all toasting to that when Grams comes in. Audrey leaps up to meet her, commenting that she's a lot cooler than Audrey expected, which Grams says she gets a lot. When Joey introduces Audrey, Grams says Audrey's reputation has preceded her, which does not seem to worry Audrey at all. Grams is touched to see the reunion and eager to hear about Jen's weekend, but she has to go to bed. She adds that it's too late for Dawson to return to Capeside tonight, so he will stay with them. Jack chokes on his coffee and Joey droops as Dawson agrees. And after Grams has taken a piece of chocolate cake upstairs, the party breaks up, Jack leaving to meet friends, Joey to study, and Audrey peels off with them. Clip 16.
Pacey, always a pleasure. You can make me a tart anytime.
Be careful what you wish for.
Okay, you got that one for free.
Actual people, thank you.
Jack asks to have breakfast with Dawson and Jen the next day, so progress is being made. What I'm not hearing is anyone offering to help clean up with six people. It would take no time, you fucking boors. As Joey passes Dawson, they quietly say goodnight to each other without touching or even really looking at each other, and Jen looks on worriedly. And alone in the kitchen, Jen tells Pacey she thinks she's gotten everyone's opinion on the new developments except his, which suggests the existence of a Jen-Audrey scene that was left out of the edit, if true, boo.
Yeah, big boo.
Pacey tries to avoid saying anything, but when press says he thinks everyone should just do what makes them happy, which Jen seemed to be for about the first 5 minutes, she thanks him and then tells him she and Dawson will clean up so at least one person at the dinner wasn't raised by pigs. And they agree that doing this again was something they should all think more about in the daylight. And with one kiss to Jen's forehead, Pacey is gone. And then we're in the street. Audrey can't believe Joey really intends to go home and study rather than out for shots. Pacey catches up to them, and as proof of the seriousness with which he's taking his new vocation, he seems to be carrying his own knives. You can see this in the visual aids. He's got like one of those little pouches.
Yeah.
Pacey declines to join Jack when he asks, so Audrey asks to join Jack and then immediately starts trying to make him take her to a gay bar as penance for his terrible setup at the winter formal. And when they're alone, Joey tells Pacey how much she envies his ability to see the big picture, like when he bucked expectations to spend the summer at sea. Pacey thinks she might be giving him too much credit and that it's just a part of growing up, but she thinks she's just acting the way Joey Potter is supposed to act, something that is clearly defined for Joey as the main character of existence. But everything she was supposed to have or want is shifting, and now she's floundering. Clip 17.
Joe, you're stronger than I've ever seen you before. You've got the new school, the writing.
What writing?
What?
The writing in the class she was desperate to drop for the entire second episodes that we haven't seen her do since then? That writing? Oh, okay.
The valedictory speech that was like ChatGPT would have been embarrassed to bork it up? Like, no.
No.
Nice try.
Anyway, Pacey says she's becoming the woman he always knew she would. Joey shrugs, and then clip 18.
I expected this from him. How could I possibly think that everything else would change, but we'd somehow remain the same? I mean, promises we made before we even knew how we would turn out, it seems a little crazy.
The things we really want always seem like a good idea at the time.
Pace, I don't think I exactly wanted it. There was a small part of me that was relieved to get a break. And was relieved to know that someone else was going to be taking care of him. And now...
You just didn't expect it was your place?
It sounds horrible.
No, it doesn't sound horrible. It just sounds like the truth. And I am a firm believer that things happen for a reason. And things have a wonderful habit of working themselves out, regardless of how you may plan them to the contrary.
That's nicer than she deserves, but is actually wise.
Yeah. But you didn't expect to lose your place was 0 degrees, Kelvin.
Yeah.
Thank you, Witter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he hugs her and it's more than she deserves. And then Jen is leading Dawson up to the attic, which even though the family just moved in like 4 months ago, is already full of disorganized shit. And yes, I judge them.
I didn't judge them. It looked cozy. That peaked roof. It just looked, I don't know. I was like, oh, I want a room like that.
I like the room. I'm saying get rid of the boxes, especially since yeah. what we could see was mostly Christmas stuff. Like, it's December. Go put that up or throw it away.
Yeah. True.
Dawson jokingly asks if this is where Jen takes all her conquests to die as she leads him to the bed that's made up amid all of the boxes. He can't believe she intends to leave him here, but she doesn't think it would be proper for her to have relations with him in her grandmother's house, and giggles as he picks her up and drops her on the bed. When she volunteers that she thinks basements are scarier than attics because of the stairs things could hide under, Dawson is amused that she's afraid of the dark, which she says is information only a boyfriend gets to know. And he doesn't contradict the use of the term, so I guess that's the DTR and they did it.
Hmm.
She asks if he wants to talk about the evening, but he declines. She guesses they can't change reality, and Dawson says there was something cathartic about it. Jen's over catharsis, but Dawson says she can't be with New Year's around the corner. Okay. Jen flops over his legs and asks if they can just be very, very boring. Dawson says boredom is not the feeling she inspires. She looks around, saying she thinks the room has possibilities. The kind they can talk about tomorrow, and that's where they leave it for now and for 2001. Let's close things up with our episode MVP. Audrey.
This is sort of a late breaker for me, but I'm going to say Dawson. Like, just thank you for just telling her, like, my father's death changed some shit. It's not your fault, but here is what's happening. Mm-hmm. Go deal with yourself away from me. Like, good for him. Finally.
Yep. Sure. Least valuable player. Joey. And that's how she sounded for half the episode when she was in that mood. And not the other half when she was acting like she was totally fine and was maybe actually totally fine. It's really, this episode needed like another mood pass because...
Yeah.
Just did not hang together logically anything she was doing.
No, like that. I mean, the illogic starts when Dawson doesn't get busted smooching Jen by everyone and be like, all right, well, off I go back to Cape Side to not deal with this because come on. Next time on Again With This, Joey takes the stage, Pacey gets promoted, and Dawson and Jen make love and war. If you'd like to declare war on your retinas, try the Aughts Fashions you'll find in our visual aids. That's the critical screenshots and GIFs that we do for every episode of this podcast. You can find them, along with the episodes themselves, on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. I'm Gummy Risotto Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Chicken Vein Prize Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, gets that one for free. Talk to you next time.
You want your bun toasted? Oh, great.